It is just past 8:35 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert. And a lot of our coverage of the Trump administration's hardline immigration policies has focused on the southern U.S. border. But there is also a growing conflict over how it is treating immigrants and refugees from Southeast Asia. Today, a charter flight is scheduled to take off from El Paso, Texas, with nearly 50 Cambodian nationals on board, largely refugees who have spent the bulk of their lives outside their country of birth. And this comes on the heels of an announcement that the Trump administration is going to begin trying to deport thousands of Vietnamese immigrants with criminal convictions in their pasts. Many of them driven here by the Vietnam War. Joining us to go through what's happening is someone who's been working on the cases of some of the Cambodians facing deportation. Melanie Kim is a staff attorney with the Immigrant Rights Program with Asian Americans Advancing Justice, the Asian Law Caucus, based in San Francisco. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you start by just kind of painting a picture? Like, what's a typical person who's facing deportation under this new enforcement regime?
Sure. So Southeast Asian refugees came to the United States after the Vietnam War. Most of the folks who are being targeted for deportation now have no memory of a quote-unquote home country because they came to this country as children or infants. Many of them have never even stepped foot in Cambodia because their parents fled before they were born, and they were actually born in refugee camps in Thailand. And so through their refugee resettlement program, they came to the United States and were largely settled in neighborhoods that were very poor with very few resources. So their parents were living with the trauma of war and just trying to make ends meet. Children growing up here felt out of place and often felt unsafe in those neighborhoods. They came to the United States at a time where we were passing a lot of tough on crime policies as well. So things like mandatory minimum sentences, the war on drugs, and trying children as adults in criminal court. And so these kids were coming up, interacting with law enforcement, and were facing very harsh criminal sentences. At around the same time, immigration law was changing. So in the 90s, we largely gutted immigration law of immigration relief for folks with convictions. So these kids were growing up and were facing criminal sentences. And then after finishing those sentences, were placed in immigration court where they were ordered deported because there were no forms of relief available to them.
But if they were ordered deported as far back as the 1990s, why is this only becoming a live issue now?
Sure. So, for example, Cambodia didn't have a repatriation agreement with the United States until 2002. And since 2002, Cambodia has been reluctant to accept large groups of folks for deportation. And so when these kids would finish their sentences and be ordered deported, Cambodia largely wasn't accepting them for deportation. And because they weren't deported, ICE would release them on orders of supervision. So they returned to their communities, started families, started careers, and have been living in the United States for decades on these orders of supervision. And it's only until recently that this administration placed a lot of pressure on these countries to accept more folks for deportation than ever before.
So I guess I'm surprised. I'm a total legal neophyte, but I assume people who came here with refugee protections would have more protections against forcible deportation. I mean, to have refugee status, doesn't it mean there's been a finding that it's not safe for you to go back to your country of origin?
That's right. And a lot of it has to do with the changing immigration laws in the 90s that made green card holders and refugees subject to deportation if they were convicted of certain crimes.
Got it. So the change here is actually in Cambodia's posture towards accepting people being deported from the United States, but you're saying that's because of pressure from the Trump administration.
That's right. So in 2017, this administration placed visa sanctions on Cambodia, eliminating the ability for Cambodian officials to come to the United States. And I'm sure there was other diplomatic pressure as well. And Cambodia buckled shortly thereafter in accepting more people for deportation.
So one push has been to try to clear the records of people facing deportation. There's been a strong push here in California to try to get Governor Brown on his way out to issue pardons to people whose convictions are under his jurisdiction. How's his administration responded to that?
The Trump administration?
No, the Brown administration.
Oh, the Brown administration. Yeah, the Brown administration has been really receptive to stories of Southeast Asian refugees facing deportation, and they've been very sympathetic. So last year, there were large raids against the Cambodian community, and the Brown administration did pardon a number of folks, and he pardoned a number of folks in Thanksgiving as well. And so we're hopeful for more pardons in leading up to Christmas.
And the people who are currently on the brink of being flown out of El Paso, Texas, where are they coming from? Outside California?
All over. This is nationwide. We do have a number of folks from the Central Valley in California who we know are on that flight, in the Bay Area as well. But these ICE raids are taking place all over the country.
And like, what legal recourse do they have in the course of that proceeding?
Sure. So a lot of folks have valid legal claims to fight their deportation orders. And a reason for that is because their deportation orders are so old and immigration law has changed since then. So some of their convictions are no longer deportable offenses. Another reason that they can fight their deportation orders is there are forms of post-conviction relief that are available to them now that were not available to them before. So an example of that is a pardon. That is one of the few ways folks can eliminate the immigration consequences of a conviction. There are certain vacators that you can file for in criminal court that would eliminate those consequences as well. And other forms of post-conviction relief where you can change a felony into a misdemeanor and shorten the sentences such that it's not a deportable offense. The problem is that these raids and these deportations are happening at such a rapid rate that there isn't time for folks, especially because they're being detained in the middle of nowhere, to find an attorney or attorneys to take their cases on.
So you've handled some of these cases. I mean, can you give us an example of what you've been able to accomplish when someone does have a lawyer?
Sure. So I can talk about my client, Porn Tem. He is the only Cambodian refugee to have been able to come back to the United States from deportation. And I just want to say that has only been possible because of Southeast Asian organizations and independent organizers who have been doing this work long before me. But he was picked up in the raids of October 2017. He grew up in Sacramento, and he was deported in April of this year. One day after he was deported, the underlying conviction for his deportation order was vacated in criminal court, meaning that the immigration consequences were canceled. And so my office filed a motion to terminate his deportation order, arguing that it was no longer valid because the underlying conviction is no longer valid. And he was able to return to the United States and to his family in Sacramento last month.
So he got rounded up, he got detained, he got deported, he got back. How much of his life did he lose to dealing with those things?
Yeah, I mean, I think folks with orders of deportation, it's a constant stress on them and their family. And he was in Cambodia for about 7 months. And like most people who are deported, he had no memory of Cambodia. He was born in a refugee camp in Thailand. He barely spoke Khmer. He certainly didn't read or write it. And he felt really out of place the entire time. And his family was worried sick about him. I remember having a conversation with his sister, who asked their mother if she wanted to visit him in Cambodia. And she said that she couldn't do it because the thought of leaving him in Cambodia after her visit was something that her heart could not take. And so I just want to highlight the immense burdens that Southeast Asian women face when these detentions and deportations happen. The vast majority of folks deported are men, and it's often the women who are left with the financial and emotional burdens of these deportations.
Speaking to Melanie Kim, she's a staff attorney with the Immigrant Rights Program of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, the Asian Law Caucus, which is based in San Francisco. And she's been representing Cambodian nationals subject to deportation from the United States because of past criminal convictions, a program that's been dramatically ramped up under the Trump administration, which has successfully pressured Cambodian officials to start accepting more deportees. And all this is against the backdrop of a bit of a political bombshell last week that the U.S. government is now going to start aggressively trying to deport Vietnamese refugees on similar grounds. The estimates have put the number of people at risk of deportation under this initiative anywhere between 7,000 and 8,500 people. A political shockwave because the Vietnamese refugee community has been a bulwark of Republican politics in places like Orange County, California. So it's not clear what is driving the Trump administration aside from sheer anti-immigrant animus. My question, looking at it and looking at the fight over these deportation flights for Cambodians, is whether you think what's been going on with Cambodians has been kind of like a test run.
That could certainly be true. I do think that, this administration has placed pressure on a lot of countries. So to link this the Southeast Asian experience with other communities, the Trump administration has placed pressure on countries like Iraq and Somalia to do the same, to accept folks for deportation, many of them who came to this country as refugees. And so with the news about the repatriation agreement with Vietnam, the United States and Vietnam signed a repatriation agreement in 2008 that says that folks who came to this country from Vietnam before 1995 would not be subject to repatriation. This administration would like to deport refugees who came before 1995.
So that would be refugees fleeing the Vietnam War.
That's correct.
Generally, people fleeing the advance of North Vietnamese forces when the U.S. pulled out.
That's correct.
People who then were U.S. allies in the Vietnam War.
That's right.
Like, do you have any sense of why? Like, why this is something that the Trump administration is prioritizing resources and political capital for?
Racism would be my best guess. It's extremely disturbing. And we see it not just in Southeast Asian communities, but like I said, a lot of countries who have been labeled as recalcitrant in accepting folks for deportation.
So how many legal hurdles does the Trump administration have to clear before they can start wholesale deportations?
So they tried this before with Vietnamese folks in the spring of 2017. They arrested a large number of folks who came here before 1995, held them in ICE detention, and tried to get Vietnam to issue travel documents for them. Vietnam was steadfast in their position that they would not accept people who came here before 1995. And so I'm remaining hopeful that Vietnam will maintain its position.
So then the Trump administration saying we wanted to deport all these people with criminal convictions from before 1995, that's laying down a marker. That's not saying we have the power to press forward with it.
That's correct. You can think of deportation in the interior as involving two steps. The first step is to get a final order of deportation from an immigration judge, and the second is for the receiving country to issue a travel document. And legally, the Trump administration cannot deport someone if they don't have a travel document from the receiving country.
So how much leverage can they apply to the Vietnamese government? Is it as easy for them to bend them to their will as Cambodia's?
Hopefully not. So far, Vietnam has remained strong. A lot of these negotiations happen behind closed doors, and so it's unclear what countries are being offered.
Hmm. And what about the legal prospects for people facing deportation? The things you mentioned, changes to criminal law, changes to immigration law, the prospects of pardons and resentencing, same toolkits in play?
Yes, the same toolkits would be in play for these folks as well.
So what's the capacity of do-gooder lawyers like yourself to actually take on 7,000 to 8,500 cases?
You know, we're doing our best, and there are a lot of organizations in the Bay Area and Northern California who are doing work as well. So I'll just shout out Asian Prisoner Support Committee, Viet Unity, and Empowering Marginalized Asian Communities that there in Stockton. And so, you know, we're all working together to bring light to this, to these issues, to help people before they're in detention to deal with their immigration cases and things like that. And people have really engaged with this issue as well. Hundreds have called the governor's office to ask for pardons for Southeast Asian folks who are vulnerable to deportation. A lot of folks have been calling Omni Air International, which is the company that is chartering this flight today, to stop the flight. And so I think I am most encouraged by public engagement with this issue because the power is in the people.
How many cases do you all have the possibility to resolve through a gubernatorial pardon in California? Like, how many people's situations could Jerry Brown unilaterally fix?
A lot. I don't know if I have a number for you, but a pardon is one of the very few ways you can eliminate the immigration consequences of a conviction. And it's a very powerful tool to fight a deportation.
So how, like, are he and his staff approaching this? Are they carefully weighing the merits of each case, saying yes to some and no to others? Are they chugging through them slowly? Are they rubber stamping everything that gets to their desk?
No, they're very diligent in evaluating these cases. They've been really receptive to client stories, and his office is very sympathetic to Southeast Asian folks who are facing deportation.
Got it. I guess my question is, at the rate that they're processing these, are they going to be able to get through every case that you care about by the time he hands off the reins of power to Gavin Newsom?
Probably not. So we're hoping that Gavin Newsom continues the pattern of being sympathetic to these stories that Brown has started.
But gubernatorial pardons typically come out a lot faster from governors at the end of their tenure rather than at the beginning.
Sure, that's right. But I do think because it's such a powerful tool to prevent deportations that the Trump administration is exacerbating, I'm hoping that the new governor will see the importance of pardons in this process.
All right, Melanie Kim, for people who want to be helpful, is there some way that you are asking people to ask their governor to step up the speed at which these cases are being reviewed?
Sure. You can call the governor's office and ask to ask him to pardon Southeast Asian refugees and other folks who are facing deportation who need pardons in order to do that.
All right. Melanie Kim is a staff attorney with the Immigrants' Rights Program of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, the Asian Law Caucus. She is based in San Francisco. She's been handling the cases of Cambodian nationals, mostly refugees from the Vietnam War and the Khmer Rouge, who have been facing deportation under a program that the Trump administration has been pursuing vigorously and pressured the Cambodian government into cooperating with. And to recap the news, today there is a charter flight run by Omni Air International set to take off from El Paso, Texas, with just under 50 Cambodian nationals on it who are set to be deported to their nation of origin, not necessarily a nation any of them have spent time in. Many left as children, many were born abroad in refugee camps.